Good morning, everyone. Long church, very good songs. And I think I like how in verse 5 said that take my will and make it thy own. And yeah, make it so it shall be thy royal throne. And it's applicable to what I'm going to share today. I'd like to start with a prayer, before we start. Father God, we thank you that you've given us your grace, your Son, given all that you have to us, so that we may have fellowship with you. That you've taken away anything that hinders us to come and see you and meet you. We indeed ask that come before you this day and ask that you bless the time that we want to share your word. I ask that you work in our hearts, for myself who's speaking and also for those who's listening. May you bless your own work. We come to you in faith, because it's by your grace. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Before we start, maybe we can start reading from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Everyone gets their Bible ready and then we'll start. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. I'll wait to. For the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And we speak these things, exhorting and rebuking with all authority. Let no one despise you. Today's topic, I originally wanted to talk about treasure, talking about what do we treasure in our, what do we consider as a treasure. Some may say it's beautiful things or gold and jewelry and things that you love so much. I think in the dictionary it said it's like a storage of beautiful things, I think treasure. A storage of beautiful things that that you love so much. But on the other hand, I also think that it's something that's in our heart that captured our heart so much that's also that we're still holding on to in our hearts. Is it something like our pride, our status, or even something like our bodily need, like eating and other pleasures that affects us? And my question is, does it affect our life and relationship with God and also others and our love towards others as well? Like, it's just something that I was thinking on this road trip to Melbourne I had on Australia Day. There was a lot of time to think about when I was driving to Melbourne. It was originally planned for 10-hour trip, and we started at 9 o'clock. And normally we should start at 5 o'clock. So what time do you think we arrived eventually? Any guess?
9 o'clock.
Nine o'clock at night. We arrived at 12:30 a.m. So we checked in about that time and still had to wash them afterwards. So in total, it was about 15 hours, and I had a lot of time to think about just life in general, I think. And I don't know why, in all my jobs, I end up driving a lot, like always driving, and I reflect on this, and I just want to give you this analogy about what I guess our walk on this earth is like. Now, this is my analogy, but I just think it may apply to some. I thought that my life was like this 900-kilometer trip to Melbourne. So that's New South Wales, and that's Victoria. Sydney's here, Melbourne's here. So the 900-kilometer trip was something like that, wasn't it? And when you think about our life, do
here we have better pen than that one.
Oh, sorry, that's good. It's just an outline of what Melbourne somewhere here, Sydney here, at the border of New South Wales and Victoria, and the road trip was something like that. Anyone been on a road trip that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So you know how it feels. On the road trip, you plan to have a break every, I guess, 100 kilometers or 150 kilometers, or some people are very resilient, they can drive for 3 hours non-stop. That's not me. And also we had two grandpa, grandma, and two young children, very young, nearly 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, so they were hard to settle as well. But the grandpa and grandma was very resilient, they didn't complain at all. And I guess what I'm proposing to you is I think of these trips each break, like I think of them as decades of my life. So think of it as each stop was like 10 years, another 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. That's the analogy I'm trying to give you. And because as I was driving, I'm thinking back of my life, I'm thinking, oh, each decade, what did I actually learn from it? And did I learn something from it? Did I mature from it? Or I'm still making the same mistake? And or is there areas of my life that needs pruning? And are there areas in my life that needs to be surrendered to the Lord? And as we sang in a hymn, like, have we given all to the Lord? And like Brother Neil once said, it's Lord of everything or not Lord at all? It's a wake-up call for me, and I think it's a question for all of us to say that we learn anything from our past decade, or even last year, or even yesterday. I suggest just coming back to God's word. It just reminds me that Jesus has redeemed us with a very great price, and He purchased us with a great cost, and He already reconciled us to God, and He took away the wrath upon us, and He did not count any of the trespass against Him. And in actual fact, it is by grace you were saved, and all of us who were saved by grace. And a lot of times we might look at ourselves, or even look at our how we look at our faith and how we walk in faith. Sometimes even through this journey, I'm thinking, maybe I'm focusing too much on my faith, or how I'm walking, that I forget that it is grace from God that is most important. Because grace is actually the source of our salvation, and grace is the source of is the source of our salvation, and it is our faith that is at work in all of us. And faith is the work of God's grace in all of us. Because then sometimes I think like, oh, and I know we all have to walk in faith and focus. In a day-to-day challenge, we find it difficult. But a lot of times, God's actually asked us to look to Jesus for His grace, so that we may able to walk in faith. So just coming back to this road trip, I actually have to come to Him in faith to redeem the time that I believe I've lost through the many decades of my life. I'm in my mid-40s now, and I can't guarantee that I'll live up to 70, although the Bible says we can live up possibly up to 75-ish. If you are blessed, you might live up to 80, 90, 100. And I was thinking back when I was in my 20s, I used to think how I had infinite time, unlimited, and also felt I was invincible. Well, yeah, because we're so healthy and nothing can stop us. But I was an unbeliever then. But now I know that I'm accountable for every time that I spend on my own, and also with others as well, how I spend that limited time that I have on this earth. And I trust that He's able to work in me and all of us for His good works. Just as we read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He redeemed us from all inequity and purified us unto Himself. Said in King James, it's a peculiar people. But New King James says special people. But special people, zealous for good works. And the question I ask myself is, how I spend my time will either honor the Lord or grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And we're doing Revelation, a Bible study in Revelation on Revelations in the home meeting. And in Revelations 5, chapter 5, verse 11 to 14, maybe we can turn to that. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under earth and such as are in the sea and all are in them, I heard them saying, "Blessed and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Because we were doing Revelation Bible study, and reminds us that we'll be one day face to face with the Lord. We're no longer just praying and interceding for Jesus. We're actually going to be face to face with Him. And I ask, do we spend enough time to know Him? Do we understand Him? And are we prepared to meet Him tomorrow? If that happens, our Lord and our Savior. Now also, some of us, if you already know about Him, heard about Him, and some of you may experience Him, do you trust that He has forgiven you forgiven you and that he has saved you. Because I was thinking on the way here, I was thinking some of us may have been to Sunday school and heard a lot about Jesus. And I was thinking back a time when there was this story that someone was sharing as a gospel to a woman who yet to believe in Jesus. And they were just describing how this woman was walking on a bridge across a dividing chasm, or what do you call it? A ravine. And it's just a very unstable rope across, or tight rope sort of bridge. And they asked her, do you trust this bridge to hold you as you walk across? Or, do you truly trust that? Do you trust in the work of Jesus that he's able to save you completely? And also the question also applies to us, that is there anything that holds us back from knowing Jesus more, the living word? And how much he can save us through our daily living. And I think the hymn that Long picked was appropriate for that. Now I just want to go back to the road trip again. The road trip was long. I didn't get to share the driving with anyone. It took a lot out of me physically. And tiredness also tends to bring the worst out of me, and I think human in general. And I got all a bit sensitive to my wife's comment and got offended. And I thought that I was a driver, so I had more rights. And they should at least look after me. In fact, I found that it was actually just probably my pride that was a bit hurt, and I tend to bite back and felt I was bite back with a self-righteous answer. But in actual fact, I should have learned from that mistake and maybe just not do it again. And because we have a choice of either one with wisdom from the Lord to actually to do the right thing, or preserve my well-being, or you know, my pride. And and I think if I chose and learned to be corrected, maybe I can learn to appreciate it. And also when I'm driving along this road, I can appreciate it without getting grumpy so much. And it just reminds me, in our daily walk with the Lord, am I teachable so that the journey on this earth will be a joy because I'm actually have that closeness with the Lord, or do I find it a burden as I drive along with all this painful uncomfortableness on this journey to Melbourne? So I'm just saying that in our daily walk, can we be teachable? Can we be corrected? Are you willing to be corrected by the Lord? And also, are you willing? That's my question. And all these questions I ask you, we can possibly just share with afterwards, and maybe some others can also share the experience as well. Let's get back to the road trip. I stopped at Albury. Everyone knows Albury? Just between the border of New South Wales and Victoria. Because my grandparents are Chinese, and we love Chinese food, and we search out all the, Google search for the appropriate Chinese restaurant with the 3-star rating or something. At least we know that you're going to eat something right. So we arrived there, and being Chinese, we had to have I think it was 1.5-hour dinner. Yeah. And you know how long my trip is still to go from Albury to Melbourne. I'm thinking, I mean, I can't force them to have a 15-minute dinner, right? And also the children, it's impossible to feed them in half an hour. So we thought we'll probably arrive in Melbourne at 1 a.m., so be it. And anyway, we started driving after dinner, and I'm getting really tired, and my two-year-old woke up as we drove through the darkness of the highway, and she was scared and unsettled, and she was crying for half an hour, and we're all deaf, and but you know, what can you do? Because you can stop, and then she'll settle, and then put her back on, and we'll go, and we'll cry again. So we just had to keep driving. And I prayed for safety as well, because, you know, it's so dark. And we were the only one on the road, because I think any tourists that were going to Melbourne were sure to have arrived already 3 hours ago. We were still there. And it was double demerit, and I had to keep the speed on 110 all the way. But I felt my body was shutting down, and I was getting this warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's what you get when you're having a microsleep. And and our body sometimes won't recognize it because it's a warm, fuzzy feeling. And so, yeah, I saw this bridge, and it felt like the bridge was collapsing on me. So I thought, I better stop the car and get out and do a jog around the car and wake me up. And I don't remember if we settled the baby or we just put it back on and just kept driving again with all the cry. But we arrive safely. But this micro sleep, I just want to propose to you, I just felt like it's something that reminds me that we should be cautious and alert in our walk on earth. Yeah. And there are many signs on the road to say, take many breaks and be alert and be aware that you're going to fall asleep. But it's just a reminder that are we cautious in how we're walking, and are we aware of things around us, like the world? I think we were saying that the world is living, our flesh is also living, but the Lord is living, and He's more powerful than the world, its influences, and our flesh, who is also living, but the Lord is more powerful than that. And like we, like Long Shay in the hymn, that we need to come to the Lord for His grace all the time. And God gives us sufficient grace. Also, the warm, fuzzy feeling just reminds me another thing. Do you, also to yourself, to myself, do you have creature comforts in your life that you sometimes you seek, or the food that you love, that you treasure in your heart? I mean, they are bodily needs, but do we treasure them so much in our hearts? Because I know some people, they live day by day looking forward to the next delicious meal. Some people look forward to sleep, but I think it satisfies the body and the need. You might get a buzz from it, but it doesn't last. It just waits for you to come back for more. And so, with this sharing, I just wanted to share that it's not so much about focusing on myself. I actually wanted to share that how much I need to look up to the Lord for His grace. And rather than looking at myself all the time, originally the message was so much focused on, what am I doing the right thing? What's wrong with me, or things like that. But actually the Lord asks us to look to Him always, to ask for His strength and for His grace so that we can walk faithfully. And that's why I've got three questions for us, and maybe we can discuss it after this. Do you have a desire to know the Lord more and in a deeper way? And why not? Or how did the Lord touch you in the beginning, and how can you share that with the lost, with the those who had yet to believe? And also, how can we be usable for His good works? These are just some of the questions I'd like to share and to ask you. And yeah, I just want to commit this time to everyone to fellowship and share. Yeah. Do you have the desire to know the Lord more in a deeper level, and why not? And how did the Lord touch you at the beginning? And how can you share to the lost and the unbelievers? This is a general question, just open question. And how can we be usable for His good works? Yes. I'll just cross and pray and then commit the rest of the time to everyone. Father God, thank you for the time, man's limited by his words and his understanding. May you work in our hearts to understand you, to know you more, to seek you. Lord, you'll reward those who seek you, and you're not hindering those who seek you and want to come close to draw near to you. We ask that you bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.